What a great night with the children leading us in worship. Open your Bibles to John chapter 17. This morning we returned to the Gospel of John and started with that overture to the cross in chapter 18. But this evening and next Sunday evening and on a couple of Wednesday nights, I want to take some time and look at John chapter 17. John chapter 17 is one of the unique treasures of the Gospel of John. It's a prayer of Jesus. Sometimes we call it the high priestly prayer. Sometimes a prayer of consecration. It's the longest prayer of Jesus recorded in the Gospels. And if you think about the gift that we have here, to hear the Master pray, it's really a valuable text. And it moves together as one. It's really a unit. It's hard to pick apart. In fact, when I was studying this text, I thought of in eighth or ninth grade biology when we were dissecting frogs. And how many ever here had to dissect a frog? Well, there's one girl in class. I think I remember her name was Leanne. She was real concerned about this. She said now to the teacher, Mr. Ackley, she said, where are we going to put the frogs? He said, well, you'll have a board in front of you. She said, well, how are we going to keep them on the board? He said, well, you're going to pin them down. She said, well, how are you going to keep the pins in? And then he dawned. He said, the frogs will be dead. Oh, she said. She didn't understand that dissection and death go together. And this is also oftentimes true when it comes to the text. When you start dissecting a text, that is a whole, then a lot of times you just tear it up. And it loses its beauty and its power. And this text is a whole. And so I want to be careful about picking it apart too much. This prayer of Jesus in John chapter 17 does fall into three parts. In verse 1 through 5, he prays for himself. And in verses 6 through 19, he prays for his disciples, for the 11 that are there with him. And then in verse 20 through 26, he turns toward the future, toward us, to his future followers of Christ, and prays for us. And we're going to focus on that, especially next Sunday evening. But this evening, let's read John 17, verse 1 through 19. You follow along as I read. It's quite a bit of scripture, but I know you can hang with me. And the Lord will speak to us as we read his word, this prayer of Jesus. Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Not before the incarnation, but before creation, before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me, I have given to them. They received them and truly understood that I came forth from you, and they believe that you sent me. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are one. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, Judas, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. A couple of weeks ago, I had the flu most all week. And so laying on the couch, I gathered up my John commentaries, started reading and studying this prayer. But my head was spinning because of the flu. This week I returned to it and it still made my head spin. All right, there's this circular kind of stream of consciousness flow here in John chapter 17 that is hard to follow. There's a depth to it. It's rich. It speaks to us. But it reads, indeed, it does read like a prayer, not a sermon. It sounds like someone praying. And so it can kind of be hard to get a hold of sometimes when we're studying it. And what I want to do this evening, and we have a few more times to look at this prayer. What I want to do this evening is to start off by suggesting to you that in these first two sections that we just read, there are three key words that help us to follow Jesus' prayer. We're not going to exhaust what's in this prayer. We never will. But I do want to make sure that you identify and understand these three key words. They're verbs. This is what Jesus is asking the Father to do. And the three key verbs that guide his praying. Glorify, keep, and sanctify. First, Jesus prays for the Father to glorify him. We see this right at the beginning. Remember? Look at verse 1. Lifting his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Speaking of the crucifixion, he's been talking about the hour through the whole gospel. Now the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Look at verse 4. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Glorify is a New Testament word that means to recognize, to ascribe worth, value. Its meaning in the New Testament really is connected to the Old Testament, to Hebrew words, which carry the ideas of weight and splendor. To ascribe value, to see worth, majesty, glory. Jesus' prayer is that the Father would glorify him. This is almost a word that kind of has a royal connotation, like a king in all of his splendor, seated on his throne, and the spotlight is on him. So everybody around him can see his majesty, his splendor, his glory. Jesus says, Father, glorify me. And now we look carefully at this. It's important that we understand this prayer in the light of the person of Jesus. And Jesus, in fact, even in verse 4 and 5, reminds us of his pre-existent glory. That he's more than a teacher from Nazareth, but he is the Word who was with God, was God in the beginning. That he had glory with the Father before the world was. Verse 5 says, And there's this claim to his pre-existent glory, and in some way beyond our way to understand, he emptied himself of some of that glory when he took on flesh. Father, glorify your Son. We understand this in the light of his person and his purpose. His purpose is to glorify the Father. And so it's really not a self-absorbed prayer, glorify me. But clearly he says, glorify me so that in me you might be glorified. That through me people might see who you are. That in acknowledging my splendor, they'll know your splendor. That in seeing me, they'll see the Father. John chapter 1 verse 18 tells us. And so this prayer, Father, glorify me, is understood in the light of his person and his purpose and his work on the cross, especially. It's important to see that this prayer begins, Father, the hour has come. He's looking at the cross. And in a remarkable way, and sometimes we need to hear this with fresh ears, in a surprising way, Jesus identifies his crucifixion as his glory. Now listen, up until Jesus came, in the whole history of the world, and even after Jesus, as long as crucifixion was practiced, the purpose and meaning of crucifixion was the exact opposite of glory. Crucifixion was devised to bring about humiliation, shame. But here, Jesus prays and speaks about the hour of his crucifixion as the time of his glory. Isn't that something? And we've been singing about it ever since, haven't we? That it's in the cross of Christ that we glory. And the reason we sing songs like that is because Jesus taught us to understand. Remember when the Greeks came to see Jesus in John chapter 12? It's a very important text. And we won't read, but I'll do my best to paraphrase it. You check me. They come and they want to see Jesus. And Jesus sees this as an indicator that the hour has come. He says, my hour has come. I'm going to be crucified. And he says in John chapter 12, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. And then John says in a narrative note, this he said concerning the type of death he was going to die. So what John is telling us is, Jesus was using a play on words. Lifted up is one of the ways we talked about being glorified. But lifted up is also what happened to Jesus when he was hung on the cross. And so when Jesus talks about glorify me, we understand that in the light of his person, the pre-existent Son of God, his purpose to glorify the Father, not only himself, and his work on the cross. Jesus prays for the Father to glorify him. You know, this leads me to say that maybe one of Jesus' favorite songs might have been a simple little chorus. In my life, Lord, be glorified. Right? That's what he's saying. In my life, in my death, Lord, be glorified. To magnify, to honor, to exalt. Jesus prays for the Father to glorify him. Second, we see cycling throughout this prayer that Jesus prays for the Father to keep his disciples. To keep them. The word keep here means to watch over, to protect, to guard. If glory carries a kind of a royal connotation, then this word keep, to watch over, to protect, to guard, it carries the idea of a shepherd looking over his flock, to keep them. And that word is used, the word itself, six times in the prayer, a synonym a time or two. It's a theme. One of the primary places we see it is in verse 11 and 12. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I have come to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, so that the scriptures would be fulfilled. He's referring to Jesus, who's we saw this morning is close at hand here. Jesus says, I've been keeping them. And now, Father, I'm going to be with you. And I'm praying that you would keep them. Watch over them. Protect them. And the grammar here is a little ambiguous. I think it probably means both. It carries the idea, keep them in your name. Keep them in your name. Can carry the idea of, Father, protect them by the power of your name. Or it can carry the idea of, keep them loyal to you. And probably it's not necessary to draw a distinction here. Keep them loyal to you through your authority, through your protection as their shepherd. Jesus here is leaving these disciples that he's developed. He's been protecting them in the world. And now he prays that the Father would keep them in his name. Anybody who's driven away and left a child at the university knows that feeling, right? Keep them. He keeps us. What a glorious thought, right? He guards us. Like the Apostle Paul, who says, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. He keeps us, the good shepherd. And then finally, notice in verse 17 and 18 and 19, Jesus prays for the Father to sanctify his disciples. Look at the text, verse 17. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified in the truth. The word sanctify is the same New Testament word as the word holy. To be sanctified is to be made holy. And both words carry the idea of separation. To be different. To be separated. To be set apart unto God. In the Old Testament, the word sanctify is used most often in connection to temple worship. It's used in reference both to the sacrifice and to the priest. The sacrificial animal is sanctified, set apart as holy unto God. The priest himself is sanctified, consecrated, set apart as holy unto God. Jesus now says, I've sanctified myself. Isn't that interesting? He's both our great high priest and the sacrifice. I've set apart myself. And now I pray that they would be sanctified in the truth. John chapter 17, verse 17 is a great memory verse. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Do you notice here in this prayer, especially in this section, Jesus is building a kind of a tension between the world and the word. You see that? The world is in rebellion. It's in deception, darkness. The word is what we obey. It's the truth. It's the light. And his prayer is that his disciples would be different from the world, set apart from the world unto God through the truth, which is the Word. And it's a powerful idea. Paul shares the same idea. Remember in Romans chapter 12 when he says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And really this is language that's rooted in Psalm number 1, where the psalmist says, how blessed is the man who does not walk according to the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the path of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers, the way of the world. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, his word, and in his word he meditates both day and night. He'll be blessed in what he does. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. May they be influenced by the word, not the world. May they be different, set apart. It's Carey's idea of moral purity, but it also is very much focused on mission. You notice? We're set apart unto God, not just to be morally pure and clean, but to be prepared and ready, equipped for the work. Do you see the connection in verse 18? As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. It's the mission that drives this need for them to be sanctified. So Jesus prays, Father, be glorified in my life. Father, keep my disciples, protect them. And Father, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Now, I can tell that for many of you, that's just thrilling. So I'm going to move to some application and we'll be finished. Our prayers expose our values, don't they? What we really pray for when no one's listening exposes our priorities, our passions, who and what is really important to us. And I don't think it takes much of a leap for me to suggest that many of us pray prayers that are focused on issues of health and security and prosperity. Keep me healthy. Keep them safe. Prosper my family. And there's nothing wrong with those kind of prayers. But they're strikingly different than what Jesus prayed. He doesn't pray for health and security and prosperity, even as he looks at the cross. He prays, Father, keep them in your name. Sanctify them in your truth. And be glorified. Listen, if you want to make sure that you're praying according to His will, if you want to pray with power for yourself, for your children, for your brother or sister in Christ, then pray like Jesus prayed. Father, keep them in your name. Father, sanctify them in your truth. Father, in their lives, be glorified. And those are prayers that He's ready to honor. Let's bow our heads together. Father, thank you for this treasure, an opportunity to hear the Master pray. And I pray that you would hide this word in our hearts, that you'd help us to apply it to our lives, that through the word tonight you'd help us to understand better who Jesus is and who we are in Christ. Father, I do pray for the people here tonight, each one gathered here in the name of Jesus. especially the children who led us tonight. I pray, Father, that you would keep them in your name. I pray that you would sanctify them in your truth. And I pray that you'd be glorified in their lives. We pray this for our church. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand together and sing. And if you need to make a public commitment, you come tonight.